Welcome to the Making a Runner podcast. I'm your host, Nick, a running specialist, biokineticist, and coach.
And I'm your co-host, Davey, aka Davey on the Run, a running enthusiast, influencer, and marathoner, and I love everything about running.
As passionate runners, we look to use our knowledge and draw on past experiences to provide you with cutting-edge science and insightful information.
We are going to be unpacking the fascinating topic of running with all-stars, subject matter experts, and everyday enthusiasts to not only help you improve your running, but also ensure that you experience maximum joy with every step that lies ahead in your journey, wherever that may take you.
This is how runners are made.
It's how runners are made, baby.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
He advised me, absolutely don't do it. I mean, this is just going to damage you. And I said, no, but surely it's 21Ks. It's okay. He said, no, but I don't think you should. And I said, well, I'm going to do it. And I'll probably do a full marathon after that. And my end goal is the Comrades. My bones, as I said earlier, most of them are fused. And the impact that my foot hits the ground with, I can't control that impact because I have no movement. And so it slaps that ground hard. Because after a run, if I don't run in those special shoes or the special splint, I can barely walk. I'm on that journey. I'm getting there. It's going to happen if I carry on and put my mind to it. But there's this app called Headspace. And
yes.
Yeah, and I do that flat out. I do a pain management course because you've got to... The mind is so complicated and your mind has to be on board. It's not only your physical abilities.
Davey on the Run.
Hello, Nicola.
Welcome to episode 3 of our very special Making a Runner podcast.
Thank you for having me. How was your week, bro?
Yeah, no, it was a good week.
I haven't seen you in 3 days. It's been the longest we've been separated for quite some time.
Yeah, unfortunately, we've got different race ambitions.
I am doing the Durban Marathon 21K. On Sunday. It is 21K PB 2.0, going for that 117, 116, 115.
Oh.
Realistically, 117.
How are you feeling about that that goal?
It's difficult, hey?
Is it perhaps a little bit of a scary situation?
Please do the round of applause.
No. We need a catchphrase for that one. Oh, you got to say something good. You got to tell me a joke.
I don't know. I don't have any jokes. You caught me off guard there.
Yeah, no, you got to prep these.
Why things. Was 6 afraid of 7?
Tell me, David.
Because 7, 8, 9.
Lucky we're getting some laughter. We're getting some laughter coming through. Yeah. It's not coming from me, I can tell you that much. So, David, tell me about your half marathon attempt. Why are we doing this again?
We're doing this because Best of the Best was a bit of a failure. In my books, it was a PB, but not the time that I wanted. So, obviously, Comrades is the big goal this year, silver medal. But Comrades is still, 5 months away? Yeah, 5 months. So
just under 5 months.
So, in order to get this, need for PBs, flush it out the system. I'm trying to run as many PBs as I can before Comrades. So, that would include a 5, 10, and 21K. My
is that it? Is that all you want?
Yeah, that's it. I think that's fair enough.
Yeah.
My goal for 21 was 115, but as we quickly learned, it's not as easy as we thought it would be. So realistically, 117 is what I'm going for on Sunday. I think it's going to be very wet. It's going to be a lot of rain.
It's looking like, but you never know with Durban. I mean, today was supposed to rain a lot. Didn't rain too much. It was on and off. And a little drizzle will be okay. It's going to be cool. Hopefully no wind. Looks like no wind.
I can do rain. I can't do wind.
Yeah, especially on that promenade. Don't want no wind.
If there's wind, then I think I might actually just quit this time. Maybe I'll actually give
no
up.
Quitting. No quitting. Never quit.
And you're also running, eh? Tell us about that.
Leah, our executive producer, is going
your wifey.
And my wife is going for a sub-2 hour. I will be running a bus. Looks like it's going to be a big bus.
Sub-2 hour bus with dolphins.
Sub-2 hour dolphin bus. I've got lots of music. I've got snacks. I've got a pack.
Tell everyone what the Dolphin Coast Riders motto or... You did it so well.
Sounds even better on mic.
Well, that is actually the Dolphin Coast motto ever since I joined. So
yeah, but it hasn't caught on. I must add.
There's a few guys that.
I think they're mostly laughing at you.
No, they're laughing
not quite
with me.
With you.
No.
There's a difference. Tell me about our guest, Davey.
Our guest, Sean Clark.
What a special guy.
A very special guy. He's actually from Joburg. Bryanston. My fiance, Kath, is in a studio with us today. She's from Bryanston, so her hometown. He is down to run the Durban City Marathon, the full one.
No, he's doing the half.
Okay. So, Sean, I know Sean from varsity days. He actually lived down the hall from me. And
so I'm sure you got some incriminating stories from varsity days.
He was a bit out there, hey? Not out there in a bad way, out there in the sense that I've never actually seen someone with so much energy. He was, he is older than me. So obviously that age gap, that university, if someone is older than you, you're quite intimidated by them. But he was literally like a bull in a china shop. He had so much energy. And I remember particularly this one time where he stayed down the hall from me and people came to our door, knocking on a door and said, do you have a knife or a pair of scissors or something? Our friend's got his head stuck in a helmet. So we went through and we looked and we sussed out the situation and I saw Sean had his head stuck in a helmet that was way too small for his head. And my first question was, why did you try and get the helmet on your head? And he said,
Was it a full helmet? Was it like a
I'll get the full story from him when he's here, because I'm going to ask him about it.
I think he's in studio.
He's in studio. But anyways, when I asked him and I said, why did you get it stuck in the first place? He said, someone dared me. And that was the testament to his character, which we're going to hear about today, is that if you challenge him, he'll do it. He'll stop at nothing to achieve it. And yeah. I think that's going to be a great story to listen to. So,
cool. I'm excited to hear it.
Should we let him in?
Yeah, let's bring him in. And you got us feeling all right.
Dun, 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 dun. You got us feeling all right.
Well, that's all we'll get there, guys. That's,
love it.
That's a... Oh, damn. I needed the claps. I needed the claps.
Why are they laughing at us,
bro? It was a bad rendition, I must say. All right, I think we can hear you fine. Yeah. I think we got a good mic test. Let's, should we get this thing on the road?
Yeah.
Is it recording?
Yeah, it's recording.
It's recording, so.
We recorded our beautiful rendition.
Good.
Excited.
Sure, no. Hello, welcome.
How's it, Davey?
How are you doing?
Yeah, good. How are you doing?
Yeah, great, man. Thank you so much for joining us. Sure. All the way from Joe Breezy.
Cool.
Bryanston.
Homeland. Very excited to be back in Durban. Very excited for the run on Sunday.
Awesome, yeah. So you are here for a run. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so it's my first half marathon in, I'd say, about 2 to 3 years. Very excited for it. It's the first time I've actually put training into a race like this. So I think Coach and I are very excited for Sunday, see what we're able to do, see what we can achieve.
David's getting very jealous right now when you're calling me
Coach. Who's your coach, bro?
My coach.
So exclusive Davey on the Run partnership that we've got going here, bro. Get back in line.
So, I mean, Sean has got quite an incredible story. I'd like to just give our listeners a little bit of a background on that, just very quickly. I mean, yeah. We can dive deeper into it as we go on, but I think right now we've just talked crap the whole time.
Yeah. It's been a bit of crap. So Sean, which is AKA Gammy on the Go.
That's right.
Tell us a bit about your story.
Why are you Gammy?
Yeah, let me give you a little bit of history on the old Gammy foot. So just to sort of compact it down, I mean, we could sit here for hours and hours, days and days, just sort of giving you the background of what actually happened. But I have always been a very active and outgoing guy, very crazy. People who know me know that Sean Clark, you can hear him before you see him, and the oak just gets up to bad business, you know. It's just always naughty and you're always getting into cuck. And when I was 7, I just had a serious attention deficit problem. I was hell of a hyperactive.
ADD.
ADD. Okay. Yeah, very serious. I mean, it's still going today. And on the 1st of June in 2002, I was playing PlayStation with my brothers and my brother's friend and my friend. And my mom came down the stairs and said, listen, you guys need to go outside, man. Get some fresh air, play some armies or whatever the case is. And that's exactly what we did. And it was a hell of an intense game of army. And my brother started shooting me. And I thought, no, you know what, stuff this. I'm going to go climb onto the roof. and see if I can sort of spot him out and try to shoot him from...
How old were you at this stage?
Seven.
Seven.
Yeah. So I had a hell of an imagination on me.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So you were the sniper on the roof.
I was the sniper on the
roof. Good choice.
Yeah, exactly. And I wanted to make it quite dramatic, and so I decided to jump off this little roof.
Mm.
And that's exactly what I did, and dramatic is exactly what happened.
Going for the tuck and roll.
Yeah. So I jumped off, kicked my leg through this gigantic pane of glass, and it was very, very thin glass, and I severed the back of my knee. And immediately I knew, shit, there's something... Are we allowed to swear?
Yeah.
Yeah. Just, shit, yeah.
we'll cut that out.
Yeah.
Keep it in.
It's going to be...
So, yeah, just sliced the back of my knee and immediately realized that this was very, very serious. Saw a stream of blood running down my leg.
You're 7 years old, so did you actually realize it was very serious?
No, I realized very quickly that this was a lot of blood that was gushing out of my leg. And I thought, oh, hold on, there's something up here. So I got up, and immediately my parents came rushing out and sort of put me in a sort of tourniquet position. My dad grabbed my little foot and sort of held it tight and rushed me off to the hospital. And that's where it all really began. So in the hospital for a couple of weeks, had a couple of surgeries. But while I was actually in theater, my best friend's dad at the time, and still is my best friend, operated on me. He was the trauma surgeon on call that night. And he actually walked out to my parents and said, listen, there's no way I can save this leg.
Jeez.
There's no pulse. There's nothing in there. And they kept on trying. After a couple of tries, finally there was a very, very slight and weak pulse, and they thought, you know what, let's keep it. Let's see what goes on. Let's see what happens. And that's exactly what they did. And for a while, there's no function. I mean, there still is absolutely no function. I can move my toes very, very slightly. I can only push them down.
Yeah, I watched that video today. I mean, that's actually, to be honest, the first time that I've seen it where you moving your foot and your other foot just has no response.
No response. So I always look at my bad foot as a sort of a child and my big foot as the big brother. And I always like sit there and the big brother always like, come on, let's go, pick it up, pick it up. It just never does pick up. And so the oak is just left in the dust all the time.
Okay.
But yeah, over the years, doctors said, you know, the best sport for you to jump into is swimming. And that's exactly what I did. I was very fortunate. I was classified as disabled, obviously, and I joined the South African swimming team and traveled to Holland and India. And in 2012, I was actually very close to making the 2012 Paralympics.
Okay.
And at that stage, I was at my class, a boarding school in the Midlands. And it was just too cold to train there. I was a high school boy, and it just became very challenging for me, and so decided to kick over to Westville in my grade 11 year in preparation for the 2012 Paralympics.
It's commitment.
Yeah. And I thought, you know, this is it. This is what I'm going to do. And about in January 2012, a couple of months before the Olympics, I had to go in for a major surgery that sort of took me out for 6 months. And so that dream sort of faded away, and there was no way I could get back into it after that. And I thought, you know what, let me just go to varsity and enjoy myself and see what I can do in terms of a different sport. And so I got into rugby. I played a bit of rugby for ACCA. And throughout this time, running has always been a passion. Just to take it back a little bit, in 2006, this was after my accident, we'd always watched the Comrades Marathon. They would run up or down Cowies Hill, and that's exactly where I lived. And so when they did the down run from Pietermaritzburg to Durban, it was a massive day. We had the Skottel going, and it was just a very exciting time. And that's when that sort of hit me, and I was like, come on, let's just do this.
Yeah, that's been embedded into you since quite a young age.
Yeah, since a hell of a young age. But at that stage, the splints I was wearing were very basic. They were plastic. It was bulky. There was no way you can run in them. And if you did, you created serious calluses. It was just almost virtually impossible for me to actually get up and go for a run. But I did anyways, and I played a little bit of rugby in it, but I damaged myself severely. I created, like, really, really bad sores.
I can imagine.
And I actually had an op last year. Throughout the whole of last year, we were considering amputating my leg because of the pain that is constant. It's constant bone pain. I've had fusions deluxe and nerve pain. And the doctors can't do anything about the nerve pain, unfortunately. And even the bone pain, they can't do anything. If you feel my foot, it's a sack of bones. There's nothing in between. There's no muscles. There's no soft tissue. It's just bone.
Mm.
And we thought then and there, you know what, the best option right now is to amputate my leg because there's a lot of oaks around there that have fully functional lives and they are absolutely unstoppable. It's amazing. And to be honest, I was jealous of them. I thought, geez, you know, that it would be fantastic to get up, put your prosthetic on and go for a like a trail run or something like that without any pain.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, after a lot of doctors, my orthopedic surgeon in September last year said, you know what, there's too much risk. The scar's in a very difficult position to create a stump for your leg to fit into a prosthetic, and we can't guarantee that the nerve pain will subside because there's obviously what's called phantom pain. And so I was devastated. I thought, you know, I'm going to have to live with this thing, and it's just tiring, and it's just not a, it's not a lack of vibe. And had the op that they said, you know, would hopefully help in a way, make it a little bit more comfier for me. And after the operation, about a week into it, I was sitting there lying in bed, and I thought, you know, it's stuff that I'm going to do the comrades next year. And so I started emailing.
Just like that. Just like that.
I started emailing a couple of splint companies in overseas in Sweden. And they grabbed hold of my story, and they said, listen, we'll sponsor you a couple of splints. And these are carbon fiber, high-end splints that have sort of made my running possible.
I've seen this. What's the company's name?
Allard. Allard International. Yeah, fantastic brand, fantastic company. And they've really come on board and helped me with this. And I thought, the stars are aligning here. I've got a fantastic company on my side. And that's when I sort of was starting to follow you and started to chat to you. And
Davey on the run.
Davey on the run.
In there, bro. Come on. Don't be afraid.
It's a PR, Davey.
Don't be afraid. At Davey, D-A-V-E-Y. No, I'm just joking.
But yeah, that's what I sort of messaged you. And then I sort of heard about you, Nick. And that's when I contacted you. And yeah, here we are today, and it's been a hell of an uncomfortable journey, but been the most fantastic journey I've been on. It's been a hell of a good time, and I'm
So those splints, have they, you know, transformed the way you run, or is it a lot easier?
It's so much easier. So before the splints, I was wearing what's called a toe up that would connect to your laces and sort of lift up your foot a little bit. But I could never run, and I calculated it by looking at my Strava, more than 14 to 16 runs. After 14 to 16, that said I was in too much pain, and I gave up completely. And right now I was having a look at it. I've made some serious progress. I've done a hell of a lot more runs than that, and I'm not in pain. The pain hasn't gone away, but it's bearable. And that's also why I'm wearing the moon boot now.
I want to paint you guys a picture. Sean, you're a big guy. How tall are you?
About 188.
Which is six?
6 foot. 2, I think.
6'2", how much do you weigh?
About 91.
And you're wearing, and you're coming in here, you're running a race on Sunday, and you're wearing a moon boot.
That's exactly it.
Perfect recovery strategy.
Exactly.
Yeah, actually. Actually.
Maybe he's going to order a get full two moon. Of those.
You get two of them, they work, right? But yeah, I had this after the op, and after a couple of runs, remember I sent you, Nick, a picture of my foot after that wedding, and it was swollen and it was sore. And I thought, let's put my moon boot on. And I put it on, and it was an absolute revelation. And I pump it up, so you walk in here, and I go for a run. I'm in pain after the run, put the moon boot on, and the pain eventually subsides.
Maybe we'll take a full body suit.
Take a full body moon suit. They work, I'm telling you.
That's amazing.
But I mean, with your running journey, it's obviously been an interesting one because of all of the everybody that you know, like you say, your family, your doctors, has obviously advised against running.
Yeah.
Especially the comrades.
Yeah. Well, then we'll get to the comrades, right? I mean, the comrades is a massive goal, but even just running a half marathon, which I believe you've done a few, two oceans.
Yeah.
And obviously, and you've also run a marathon.
Yeah.
Tell us about the prep for those and how those days went. Because, I mean, if you're running 14 runs and then you can't run anymore, and I mean, you were telling me you could run maybe 10 Ks in a
literally,
week, and that would be the training. I mean, Davey, how would you feel about 10 Ks a week?
Lovely.
10 Ks a week?
Yes, I get swear messages left, right, and center. I'll tell you that much.
I'm on a taper week at the moment, and I've already told Kath, I'm having a withdrawal symptoms from all the endorphins, because I've done 29 kilometers this week, and it's not going well.
That's not what I saw on your story, though. You were quite happy about those two
rest
days.
Yeah, I saw that, too. Yeah.
Until I woke up this morning, and I couldn't see straight. I think I'm sick, but anyway, 10Ks, nah, not for me.
You're always sick leading up to the races. I know. It's a cool back excuse, I can tell you.
It's called taper flu, and it's a thing.
Sean, tell us about these half marathons.
Yeah,
two oceans. I mean, it's a beautiful half marathon.
It was honestly fantastic. And I did that in 2016. And I made an appointment with my orthopedic surgeon a couple of months before that. And I said, listen, this is what I want to do.
I'm sorry. It's like how I book an appointment with like someone for a sports massage. charge. You're like, I just booked an appointment with my orthopedic surgeon.
Yeah, no, I've got to get all the
You got him on WhatsApp, eh?
Yeah, no, 100%. And he advised me, absolutely don't do it. I mean, this is just going to damage you. And I said, no, but surely it's 21Ks. And it's okay. And he said, no, but I don't think you should. And I said, well, I'm going to do it. And I'll probably do a full marathon after that. And my end goal is the Comrades. And he looked
at me.
Did
he drop the mic?
Did you do a sassy
kind of?
No, I was very stoked. And I looked at him and he almost went pale. He was like, hey, come on, you can't do that. And I actually reminded him last year, literally on the operating table. I said, listen, Dr. Stead, I'm doing the Comrades next year. And he looked at me and he said, I've no doubt that you will do it, but I can guarantee you now that a couple of weeks after that event, you will be lying on the exact same slab and we'll be undergoing another op. And what? That, for me, that motivates me. I quite like it. I'm like, okay, well, cool.
What medical aid are you with?
If I'm a big one. Have a big comprehensive. One.
Okay. Uninsurable.
Yeah, I don't think medical aid like me too much. But as you said, Nick, I couldn't run often, and it was very frustrating. I could not get fit, and at times I could only run 3Ks, 4Ks, and to me that was, wow, jeepers, you just did 4Ks straight up off the bat after work, like, wow, amazing.
What was the time on those 21s?
So I think that 21 in 2016 was 2 hours and 45 minutes.
What's the cutoff?
Close to 2 hours 45, I think.
it's a serious question.
I think with two oceans having the 56, the cutoff is probably a little bit longer. I think it's about 3 hours on the 21 for two oceans. I stand corrected.
No, I was with the back with the buggers that were all struggling. We were all on there.
All the buggers.
You have a disability, though, bro. I know.
I've got a good enough excuse, but it was a hell of a lot of fun. And to be honest, I was very proud of myself for finishing that. That was my first 21K, and I thought, wow, you know, I actually did it. And at that stage, my brothers hadn't done a 21K, so I felt like I'd achieved something that they hadn't achieved. And given my circumstances, it was just, it was a very proud moment for myself. And it didn't stop there. I entered a couple more. But I think the very interesting and entertaining story is the Cape Town Marathon that I did in 2019, because that, I mean, you've got to train for a marathon, and I could not train. I mean, physically, I couldn't do it.
What was the longest run that you did before that?
It must have been 9Ks training, max. Wow. Max.
Okay.
And even that was...
And that was a 9K week.
That was it. I was finished for the week. But after that, it was a hell of a thing. I was in Diggs at the time. And it was usually in the morning when I'd run these runs, and I'd have to literally soak my foot into an ice bath before work. It was just a hell of a process, and it was a hell of an uncomfortable...
Normal day.
Normal day. And working the clutch, getting to work, is, it was sore, you know. The foot was really taking a bruising.
Whoa, hold on. So it's your left foot. Yeah. Do you clutch with Gammy?
I clutch with Gammy, but hey. He doesn't move, remember? So it's all in my quad. I push down as if... You know, I'm pushing the whole leg down to clap that clutch.
Okay.
And that's where the story becomes interesting, because I was so severely undertrained for this full marathon. But I said, you know, it's stuff that I'm doing it. And I had a little satchel here, and I had my Tramacet, which is a hell of a potent painkiller.
A schedule drug.
I don't know, but it's, you need a prescription, all I know.
The good stuff.
Hell of a good stuff.
Okay.
And, yeah, we did that. And at the 32nd K... My RTB gave in and said, cheers.
And I mean, from a buyer perspective, I must say that what I'm hearing, I just want to put this mic really soft. And I think me and you should be having a conversation here.
No, I'm sorry, guys.
Would you not advise this or any of our listeners? Oh,
what are you talking about?
I mean, there's a lot of passion involved here, but there's a lot of pain.
There's a hell of a lot of pain.
And tell us that time. Tell us the...
Yeah. 6 hours came in.
Just under 6 hours.
Just under 5:58.
That's like, what, 8 hours, 8 minutes a K?
Yeah, it was a slow run. I could basically have finished that walking.
So, I mean, that is a lot of time on your feet, on your foot, one foot.
So let's just say you're trying to do the Comrades, right? And you need to qualify for the Comrades.
Yeah.
And the qualifying time for the Comrades is?
4 hours 50.
Okay. And your PB 42. For a marathon is?
for 5 hours 58.
So you got to cut off.
Hour and
10 minutes.
That's incredible. That's faster than my Cape Town.
Davey, that's why he has the right to call me coach. He's earning it.
Yeah,
hold on. Bigger goals,
on
boy.
On that topic, I found a message today. 27th of September was when you first messaged me.
Yeah.
Listen, I'm sure you remember my mangled up leg. He goes, Dave, how's it, my boy? Listen, I'm sure you remember my mangled up leg. Well, I've been trying to run, did a marathon in 2019, and my absolute dream in this life is to do the Comrades. I believe if I'm managed correctly,
managed.
So he's not your coach, he's your manager. Managed correctly, it may be possible. Could you send me the number of your coach, etc.? Because I would need a bio on board too. Now, let me just ask you. How long did Nick take to actually get back to you? Because I remember you sending me several messages after that saying, hey, bro, Nick still hasn't responded.
I remember that.
So, Nicola, do you want to explain yourself? Was this not on the top of your to-do list? Or was I too important?
You were testing the waters to see if I was actually committed.
So, we'd already seen Sean coming up through the ranks, you know, in December 2020, he'd already touched base with us on our Runix page, you know. So
then you already had his number, so why come through me?
He didn't have a private number. He wanted to contact me, and he sent me a message asking me if he could pop me a voice note with his situation, which I'd already known about his situation.
Like 6 minutes long.
So long.
He'd already explained the situation to me, so I'm fully aware of the situation that's coming my way. And there's like 6 minutes, 6 minutes 20. I actually listened to it this morning.
And Nick's a busy guy.
And I just see that voice note and it gives me anxiety.
You know what, I open it. But come on, this is insane.
Like, I can't assure you that I'm going to have 6 minutes straight to listen to it, and I don't want to listen to half of it, because then I'm going to have to re-listen to that other half, and then it's going to be a shit show.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it did take probably about 15 days for me to get back to Sean. And then he took about...
I got 15 messages.
He took about 2 weeks to get back to me.
Yeah, I was also
you
part
too,
of...
You hey?
And then, I had a bit of a cold feet.
I was just the middleman in this whole process.
Yeah, Davey on the run was getting bombarded
I have to keep my social image up. So I'm like trying to like intermediate chat. Like I'm like swift responses. Like, hey, Sean, I'll get back to him. I'm like, Nick, bro, you got to respond.
Come on, dude.
Nick's like I'm trying.
I'm getting around to it, Davey.
Okay.
Come on, bro.
Okay, so we've clarified that now. How's it going, guys? Coach, athlete, I'm going to take a back seat here. Tell us, man.
He is doing so flipping.
Oh, yes.
Well.
I remember Nick said the rudest thing the other day. He said, Sean is the most dedicated athlete that I have. And I was hurt.
Yeah, I'm sure.
You should see this man's training peaks.
I think if you had
peaks.
To see this man's training peaks, you would definitely agree with me.
No one hurt.
Maybe we should go for a little race soon, Davey.
Okay. This weekend. 21.
What are you aiming for, like an hour?
No. We're not talking about that.
Davey, let's manifest.
I'm not feeling well.
Come on.
105.
105? Oh,
no, I'm just joking.
Jeez.
You believe me?
Yeah. I did.
No, 116. 16, huh? We're going in between 115 and 117. Realistically... 1:17:40.
All right.
That's an absolutely insane.
It's a monstrous time.
I'm out of the race, by the way. I don't think I'm going to race you.
Let me try, though. I mean, Nick can give me a dead leg, and then we can maybe...
we got a training session tomorrow morning, didn't you know? Maximal deadlifts. Max, 1 RM. So, I mean, Sean is doing a fantastic job, and I think ADHD is playing off...
ADD. Attention Deficit Disorder.
But then you also get Attention Deficit Hyperactive Disorder.
So which one are you?
I think I'm all...
Both.
Both, yeah.
A little bit of dyslexia thrown in there.
He's
already got enough disabilities, okay.
Well, this is all about running with disabilities. So the more we can throw on him, actually the better. But I think it's paying off, because his training peaks is just... Green.
I love it, yeah.
That's because you load cycles on there.
But do you want to know an interesting bit of information?
No.
Davey?
What?
How much cycling have you done on the watt bike?
Nicholas.
Since we started training.
Nicholas.
I've got stats.
Nicholas, I swear to God, don't start. Because I would go and cycle. I would rather cycle than do your stupid hip arcs and...
Don't go off topic here, David. Tell me, how much?
Since when?
Since we started training. What buck?
Maybe 8 times.
8 times? No, you're not giving yourself enough credit here.
Okay, maybe 16 times.
You've done 17 hours of what buck?
He knows.
17 hours.
He knows the metric.
Which makes up 6% of your overall training.
Am I a cyclist?
No, you're not exactly. A cyclist. But I want you to conceptualize this. In 3 months...
That's because he's got a fucking foot that he can't use. No wonder he's cycling, bro. You can't compare apples with pears.
In 3 months, this guy has done 32 hours of what bike riding... 32 hours.
I'm proud.
Tell me about your ass. What does it feel like when you do a couple of what fuck sessions? You got to give this guy credit, man.
I'm giving it to him, but I'm just saying compare apples with pears. I mean, apples with apples.
One thing's for sure, you've got to invest in a hell of a complicated cycling kit that will really help support you on that bike. Because it's not comfortable.
Yeah. 73% of his training in the last 3 months. Yeah. The amount of hours
he wrote it down here. Yeah. I actually have this down.
917 kilometers on a bike.
Do you want to know what your running percentage is?
Tell me.
27.
Wow. Oh, is that it?
Quick math, 73. 337 kilometers.
Running?
In 3 months.
Running?
Running.
What? No way.
Promise.
You know, that is a hell of an improvement.
That's 110 Ks a month.
Bro?
Quick math.
He's doing about 30 Ks a week.
Jeepers, you tripled your mileage.
Jeepers, can you believe that?
Sean, we are so proud of you, man. Everyone. That's what you get, bro.
That's what you get.
Applause from me and Davey.
I'm just getting competitive here, bro. I'm just joking.
But, I mean, those are some astounding stats, considering you've done that, coming from a base of absolutely nothing. I mean, when we first started this journey now, it's October, where we actually... had that mismatch connection.
We
decided we were going to do it. You had that operation towards the end of the year.
Yeah.
And then basically what we said, because you couldn't run for like a month after that operation, we said, okay, you're just going to get onto that bike. So you went into that December really just spending time on the bike, and then we actually met for the first time in January, on the 4th of January.
That's right.
You came through. We did that gait analysis. We did a nice little video. We looked at where we could improve. We showed you some strength stuff. And then from that point on, this is what the stats are looking like. And I'm just like, I've seen you improve from week to week, like to the point where you're now running 19-kilometer long runs on the weekend.
I know. I didn't think that was ever possible, to be honest. And genuinely speaking, I really didn't think that I was actually capable of doing that. I thought I would just jump into a race and go for it, but do no training on the side. But I've realized very quickly that training is just so damn important. And for the first time, I can run up a hill and don't stop at the end of the hill, carry on.
That's amazing.
It's just a great feeling.
It is.
It's a fantastic feeling of feeling fit and also getting your leg on board.
Mm.
Finally, he's like, Lekker, I can join you in this one. Let's do it. And he's not that tired. He's not that sore.
Yeah, and the consistency has just been so good to watch. And like your communication, and that's something that I wanted to talk about. I mean, with you, Davey, something that I see you on a day-to-day basis. So we're always running together. We're seeing each other.
Yes.
But like to actually manage an athlete that's overseas or in a different city, like you need to have such a good communication between coach and athlete. And I think you have done a fantastic job on that behalf. Like if there's ever anything that you're not sure of, or if you're needing to double check something with me before doing it, or need to move a run, or you're always the first person to reach out. Let me know how things are going on. And it just speaks about your motivation and your dedication to your main goal, which is, I think, something that everybody can learn from. And not to mention the fact that, you know, training in Joburg is hard.
Mm.
The altitude, now going into winter, it's going to be cold, miserable. But, I mean, it's going to prepare you so beautifully for, I mean, this half marathon. I'm so excited to see what you do this weekend, and I'm sure we're going to be able to let our listeners know. What's wrong, Davey?
Are you excited about me, bro?
I'm excited to watch.
We spoke about you at the start already, my boy. It's okay.
I'm just joking.
You're just feeling super neglected, yeah. Okay, I think the next episode we're just going to have to go back to just me and you, bro. You can't have this.
I'm just kidding. So, Sean, you got your comrades entry?
So I couldn't actually enter because the entries were only open for those who entered in 2020, as far as I'm aware.
Oh,
but the entries open.
A difficult one.
And I'm a little bit panicked because apparently there's only 5,000 entries left.
Oh, so you're going to be a keyboard warrior on the day, hey?
It's like literally 11:59, I'm going to be there on the dot on the 20th of April, ready to enter.
I think
this
you
thing.
Should just pop them an email and just ask them to reserve one for you. I mean,
I should
tell them you're disabled.
Yeah, no, exactly.
But that's the thing.
That can get you a lot of places. I actually skipped a couple of queues at the airport this morning.
The movers.
Did you also park in the paraplegic parking?
No, I've never done that, but my mates get pissed off with me because I don't do that.
You should.
So I should, but then I'm getting and running out into the bottle store and reaching out and coming out with food, and Oak's like, there's nothing wrong with this.
I'm sure Oscar also gets out of his car and runs faces. I mean,
used to. Walking fast.
Aces fast.
I'm home now. Tell us, Mr. Sean Clark, your training in Joburg. Has it been all that you would have hoped for in terms of the difficulty of altitude training and training alone? Because I believe you've only recently joined the running club.
Training alone makes everything 10 times harder.
It sucks.
Yes, it sucks.
It sucks. I train in the mornings before work, and it's... I mean, Joburg, where I live, in the suburb that I live, is very hilly, and there's no way around the hills. So you can't do anything about it, you know. It's very...
Is it Bryanston?
It's Bryanston.
Okay. Thank you. I've run Bryanston. It sucks.
It sucks. Really does suck.
Kath lives in Bryanston. I recently ran there, and I...
Oh, is it?
Yeah, I hated it.
I actually saw that story.
Yeah.
You know, it's
Joburg's a hostile
it's
place.
It's a hostile place. It's fast-moving. Do not run on the roads.
Pavement. Yeah, well, there's no pavements to run on.
There is no pavement. You run on basically the dirt on the side, which is terrible, especially when you have an ankle that is fused together and doesn't want to move with the gravel.
But you've got some elite shoes, don't you?
I do. I got some carbon fiber plated Saucony shoes, which is great, you know, and it works. It sort of gets me going. It's a hell of a comfortable shoe.
Comfortable ride.
You were telling us that you have to run in carbon fiber.
Yeah, I do. Well, I don't have to.
It helps.
It does help. It definitely helps. I can feel the power that it generates and the energy it sort of saves. And
it just limits the amount of force that you have to produce to your big toe joint.
Yeah, yeah. And I think what's really crucial for me is my bones, as I said earlier, most of them are fused. And the impact that my foot hits the ground with, I can't control that impact because I have no movement. And so it slaps that ground hard. And you need as much cushion below your foot to sort of consume that impact. And because after a run, if I don't run in those special shoes or the special splint, I can barely walk, and that's when I put on the
moon boot.
The moon boot, and then it's very soft. It's like those carbon shoes. It's very nice. But going back to the Joburg, I mean, it's been hell of a challenging. Not only is it hilly, but I run alone, which sucks. Early morning, and the weather's very unpredictable, especially in summer. You wake up and there's torrential rainfall, which is absolutely terrible. But it's lonely. I've got to be honest. It is lonely, and the only thing I think about is just finishing the comrades. And I know that's such a cliche, but it's the only thing that gets me going. It's cold too. It's starting to get hell of a dark. And running alone, no matter who you are in Joburg, it's not the safest.
Do you carry some pepper spray?
I don't. I carry nothing. Just a smile on my face.
Is that there at the top of the hills as well?
Oh, no, never. Try to kill him with kindness if anyone comes up to me. I don't think it would work.
We'll get you some pepper spray.
I think that's
included in Nick's coaching plan.
Oh, I'm still waiting for that.
It's the Joburg edition.
Yeah, that's the elite plan.
Okay.
Yeah, you're not on
some
that.
Mace.
He's gonna walk out of the studio tonight.
Not happy.
So you're doing the running. What else are you doing? Let's let the listeners know what your training sort of includes, because there's a lot that goes into it. I mean, running's only 26% of it.
Yeah,
27.
So obviously there's a bit of running, and what we've utilized a lot is the watt bike, which is it helps a lot in terms of strength work. But also a lot of strength work in the gym, apart from the white bike. I do a lot of that, you know. I didn't actually finish the story, but on the 32nd K in the marathon, I didn't tear my ITB, but I damaged it severely. And it took 2 years for that to recover. And for about 4 months, last year, I focused on rehabilitating this ITB, because when I had that operation in September last year, I said, fix my ITB, please. And so they went in with ultrasound and they injected it with, I don't know what they
called. Cortisone.
Bursitis. Yeah, cortisone. I don't know. Hell of a painful injection. I do not recommend. And it did help. And strength work for me has been fantastic. You can feel it in the runs. But it's just a mix of everything that sort of comes together and gets you moving in the right direction. So there's a hell of a work that goes into it. But for me, it's not only the training, it's the mindset as well. It's so important. I do a lot of visualization. I literally, if I'm doing exercise, and my girlfriend, Shane, she's so supportive. I think she's absolutely tired of me being tired and running. But I do my exercises in the lounge, and while I'm doing the exercises, I've got a full live stream of the Comrades Marathon, and it's a POV of this guy sort of running with his phone, and I sort of literally get up and I join the bus, and I'm literally running around, and my girlfriend's like, what the hell is going on here?
So you're visualizing yourself running that Comrades, and from what it sounds like, you are, you know, very much on that mental journey, because it's a very difficult journey that you're on. For anybody that doesn't have a disability running the Comrades, it's tough. So tell us more about that mental aspect. You know, do you often think, I just want to give up, or are there days where you're really kicking yourself, and how do you, you know, keep going forward and keep getting that mental aspect into it?
Yeah, there are tons of times where I think this is actually not possible, when the pain is too high. But I sort of take it back to me having always thinking that the Comrades is possible, and I need to stop being a guy that says I'm going to do the Comrades. I just need to do it.
It's the power of manifestation as well, though.
Yeah, exactly. Manifestation and the power of positivity is so, so important. And yes, I do visualize. I visualize every day. While I'm eating my lunch, I've got the two oceans. There's another sort of video of the two oceans, 56K, and that just pumps me up. I get so G'd up and I'm ready.
You're oozing positivity, hey? That does it not get tiring watching the Comrades and
two oceans on repeat? I'm just so keen to join the army when I'm on that road on my way to Durban, you know. I just cannot wait. It gives me goosebumps just thinking that I'm on that journey. I'm getting there. It's going to happen if I carry on and put my mind to it. But there's this app called Headspace. And I do that flat out. I do a pain management course, because you've got to, the mind is so complicated, and your mind has to be on board. It's not only your physical abilities, but your mental abilities has to come to the party as well. You can't just get up and go. Your mind has to be so strong, especially when you've got a limitation, because you rely on your mind to get you through that limitation when it becomes too much.
And that support structure, I mean, tell us about your girlfriend. I mean, is she a super seconder?
Yeah, no, she is.
Give her a plug.
Fantastic.
What's her name?
Kaylin van Dijk.
Okay. Is she there on the run? Got the bottle?
She's fantastic. Shame, she's not a morning person. She doesn't get up when I get up.
Catherine's nodding
for sure.
Her head in the corner there.
I did finally get her to come for a run with me, and she really was not happy at the end of it. It was a couple of weeks back, and she actually felt really sick afterwards, and I felt really sorry for her. But she's been fantastic. I would hate it if I was, you know, getting woken up very early in the morning. You know, that alarm is very, very irritating, and your sleep is disrupted, and it's
irritating, but for you it's exciting.
For me it's exciting. I'm ready to get up.
I mean, I just want to quickly just interlude there. Like, last week we had elite athletes in here talking about how...
Such a different story, yeah.
How, you know, running isn't actually... They don't run for the passion of running. Mm. It's not for the love of running. It's because it's their living. They have to run in order to put bread on the table, so to speak. Mm. And yes, on exceptions, they also love running. But you're the complete opposite, you know. And I think everything that you do exudes that. Mm. So I think it's really just, it's amazing to see how, what running does for different people at different levels, of different stages of life. I think it's just incredible to manage that. And over and above the mental element that you're bringing on, is that always something that you've recognized as an important thing to work on? Or is that something that more recently you realized, you know, I have to actually work on myself mentally in order to get through these difficult challenges towards my goal?
No, so I've been an extremely positive person since day one of this accident. And I attribute where I am today to that positivity. I am a happy-go-lucky guy. Nothing really gets me down, because I know that there are bigger fish to fry in the world. And I know that things can be tough sometimes, and you sort of wake up one morning and you think, oh, geez, you know, this leg is just too much. It's too much to bear. There's no way I can get through this run. But I always just think about, firstly, having the opportunity and the ability to even put on a pair of tackies and go for a run. Yes, it's not easy, but I can still do it. And that what pushes me to keep on going, because the ability is there. It's not 100% fantastic ability. I'm never going to run as fast as Davey on the run, but at least I have the opportunity to be a part of the sport.
It's
a fantastic sport when you're out and you're racing and you're with that crowd. Everyone's so motivating and it's just such a great vibe.
And I can't wait for you to actually get to the start line of Comrades, because I explained this to Leah and Davey. Like I've only done one Comrades, right? But that day I cried like a little baby, like 7 times. Every time I'd run past someone that I barely knew, and they're like, go Nick, and I'm just like, I can't I'm just like, and then you like, you can't breathe because you're sobbing, you're being like a little bitch, you literally can't breathe, and now you can't eat because you're crying, and it's happening on repeat.
Isn't this pathetic?
Coach,
stop,
bro. But that's like the emotional side of it. And I mean, for me, doing Comrades wasn't the deal that it is for you. So I can only imagine what it's going to be like for you. Lining up, hearing Chariots of Fire, it's going to be...
I cannot wait.
We'll all tune there. Okay,
But that's the fantastic thing about running. You're running with people that all have a story to tell. You don't know them from a bar of soap, but the person next to you might have gone through the world to get to where they are then. And they will never know what I went through, and I will never know what they went through. Everyone's got a story to tell, and that's
all running
the
same
life.
Race, going to finish at the same finish
goal.
Line. 100%. So, Shauna, would you say that you never turned down a challenge?
Never. No, never.
Okay.
I love a challenge.
Because I remember I think it was the first time that I met you in Steady's. remember, so I lived down the hall.
Yes,
And your girlfriend at the time came running to our door, knocked on the door, and I think they were looking for a pair of scissors or something, or they were looking for help.
I know this guy.
And we came over, and please tell everybody what had happened. What did I walk into there?
Is this the helmet story?
That's the helmet story.
So I used to ride a little motorbike, a little scooter, and I had this plastic skateboard helmet as a helmet that would do absolutely nothing if I got into an accident. I'd be absolutely finished. But they had little holes at the top, and I thought, oh, I'm just going to stick my finger in that hole and it'll be fine. I'll take it out.
Okay, it was a finger. I told everybody that you put it on your head, and I was trying to figure out.
No.
Made it sound like you had a motorbike helmet in your head.
Okay, there's a minor detail that I over-exaggerated.
No,
it still got stuck.
So we could not get this off at all.
So you put your fingers in there.
Put my finger
and
in.
And why did you put it in there?
I don't know.
No, because someone dared you.
Maybe.
Was what you told me.
I think I just dared myself, to be completely honest.
You can do it.
Back yourself, don't you?
But I could not get it out. And we spent hours trying to get this finger out, and it started to get blue and purple, and I started to panic.
And we ended up where?
In the hospital. Because I could not get my finger out.
Somehow I also ended up at the hospital. I was there for moral support.
Everyone was there. It was a hell of a story. And there they were, the nurses. You know those machines that they actually use to break open your cast? They use that to slice the helmet.
And you hadn't
finger.
Been drinking, or had you?
No, I was completely sober.
Yeah, they thought we were all having like a piss up or whatever. Yeah. And this was, no. Everyone was like, what happened? Why did you, I dared myself for?
Yeah, there's me with my finger stuck in a helmet.
So is that a testament to your personality, to your mindset?
Yeah.
Once you have something set in your mind, you're not going to stop getting it?
I'm very sort of, exactly that. When it's in my mind, I'm going to do it. And that's how I did the I'm a Shorva in grade 8. And I did the 106-kilometer cycle by myself. My dad dropped me off in Pietermaritzburg, but I had a vision I was going to do it. And that's how I did the 8-mile swimming race. You know, I love doing these things. I had to do the climb Table Mountain, a 2-day hike on crutches the whole way through. I love a challenge. I like ticking it off my box. And one of the goals, obviously, is Comrades is my biggest dream in life. But I think the next best thing is going to be the full Ironman. And that's
amazing.
What I wouldn't mind doing next year or the year after, one of these days.
Nick, are you ready for that?
I'm ready to see the green lining up all over my screen. It's going to be beautiful. I'm training. It's going to be beautiful. Imagine when he's doing multiple disciplines Jesus. A day. He's going to be in his absolute element.
Yeah. So I do enjoy a challenge.
We got a Solomon athlete out Andrew Rasmus. Outside.
Call him in. So, yeah. Shauna, just quickly, a message to anybody listening that might be lacking, you know, motivation or maybe going through something similar, or what would your takeaway bit of advice be to someone that's really wanting to, you know, do the comrades but can't get themselves to do the training or that kind of stuff? What would you tell them?
Well, obviously you can say, you know, the cliche, never give up, but the one thing that's always motivated me is I've always believed that life, everybody's life, is like a book. It's like a movie, and you're going to get bad chapters, you're going to get good chapters, but at the end of the day you've got to trust yourself that the ending would be fantastic. And that sort of gets me going. I know that at the end of my story I would have accomplished a bunch of things, and that's the comrades and probably the Ironman, etc., and I'm looking forward to reading that ending. I'm looking forward to that finish line. But just never give up. Trust your abilities. Your mind is so, so powerful, and I know that firsthand. The brain is, we haven't even tapped into the power of the brain, the strength of the mind. And if you've got that on your side, I'm telling you, anything would be possible. And the fact is, if you don't want something and you don't want it enough, you're not gonna get up to go and train. Like, you've got to want it, and you really do have to absolutely want to achieve this. Otherwise, you're not going to get up in the early mornings. You're not going to go for a cycle. You're not going to be motivated. So firstly, goals, small goals, bite-sized goals, and work your way to the top.
Awesome. Thank you for that. Nicola?
Honestly, like, this whole story, from the moment I met you, right up until this moment, having you in front of us here on our podcast, and I know where this is going. I mean, I look at the stats, and I have absolutely no shadow of a doubt that you're going to qualify for this comrade, that you're going to get an entry. I mean, there's no doubt. I don't think there's a problem with you getting an entry.
Yeah.
I don't even think it's something that you need to stress about. There's going to be plenty of entries.
I think take the entry out of it.
Yeah. But, you know, you are going to qualify. Like, I'd look at those times. I look at what you've been able to do, how you've improved, how your fitness has gone up. It's 7 minutes, 57 a K on Comrades Day. Cool. If you can achieve that.
We can do that.
Yeah. We can do that, bro. We can get under 8 minutes a K. That was pretty much what you did for your original Cape Town Marathon.
Yeah, with no training.
Now, we're going to put you on the course that you've watched all these YouTube videos on. You know exactly where you are. You're going to be doing a down run. You're going to be going down Cowie's Hill. You're going to be going past your old home.
Yeah.
You're going to have so much adrenaline pumping. That carrot's going to be dangling right in front of you. And, man, it's going to be absolutely beautiful watching you come through. And I reckon you're going to absolutely smash this goal. It's just that overall dedication. I mean, I look at you, I've mentioned how you train. The way your mind works is absolutely incredible, because a lot of athletes really struggle with that. They don't struggle with the physical element. And I think this physical element of yours has been a challenge for such a long part of your life that it's not even a factor anymore.
Yeah.
And your mind strength has just managed to get to the point where, with a little bit of stupidity along the way.
Yeah.
I mean, we wouldn't have that.
But stupidity is what leads people to doing really great things. I mean, most of the things that I've done also have been stupid in my circumstance.
No, for sure.
So
I think you need.
Circumstantial.
And it makes your book of life interesting. I want to read a boring book.
I'm never going to listen to somebody and take all of their advice. It's always going to be with a pinch of salt. Because
100%.
We're not here to live life the way other people are going to tell us how to live it. You know, it's our lives, and we must take full advantage of that.
No one's ever going to say at the end of the road.
We're making our own destiny.
I was just going to have something very insightful to say, I'm going to just stop the recording here.
Go.
No one's ever going to say at the end of your chapter that, but he played it safe.
Exactly.
No one's ever going to be happy with that. Sean's definitely not playing it safe.
No.
All three of us will do the comrades in August.
Yeah.
It's going to be a hell of a good time. I'll come in a lot after you guys, but I'll come in nonetheless.
We'll be there at the finish line to welcome you.
With a little evening beer.
If we can still stand.
Yeah.
Sure, but by that time, I think I'm going to be crawling into the finish line.
Shauna, your story is truly just amazing, and thank you so much for making the time. I can't wait to see you on Sunday.
Thanks,
we're going to be lining up there, so I think it's going to be incredible. I think you're going to have an awesome race, as long as you don't get rained out.
I think the rain is just part of it. We can't do anything about it. And I think this is the first race that you actually are doing in this whole process. So I think it's a massive sort of goalpost to get to be able to do a 21 and finish a 21 without feeling like you're going to need to take the next couple of weeks off of running.
Exactly.
And that for your mind is just going to be absolutely incredible. Huge. So yeah, we're all rooting for you. We're very excited to see your journey unfold and develop two comrades and then going on to a full Ironman. Because I mean, I do believe that is definitely within your, I mean, you're doing certainly enough cycle training.
Yeah. Yeah.
We could probably do Ironman, right? We could probably do Ironman this year. Yeah. Why wait till next year?
Maybe, why not? Why not?
Just throw in a couple of swim sessions.
I think it's just a team that gets you there. And Nick, you've been fantastic. Davey, you've been hell of a motivating with Davey on the run. Like, genuinely, it's been fun to see. And I've got a hell of a support system back home. My family absolutely loves what I'm doing, and they just can't believe it, and they've advised against it, and so have my doctors, but it's what gets me going. And Kaylin has just been absolutely fantastic, and I just can't wait to tick this off my list.
Well, yeah. Brilliant. Follow this page. You can give Sean a follow on Instagram. It's at Gammy, what is it? At
Gammy on the go.
At Gammy on the go. Just
yeah,
Gammy no on underscore.
The, oh, sorry, it's Gammy underscore on underscore the underscore go.
He wanted to go with it at Gammy on the run, but it was already
give him a follow, guys. It's going to be an awesome journey, and we certainly will be following it.